Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus this morning. I was thinking too of the connection of the different thoughts this morning. I thought of the work that we have to do in our Christian life. We talked about that in Sunday school. And then Brother Ronald takes us to Revelation and shares with us the greatness and the glory of heaven. And I had to think of Paul when he's writing to the Romans. And he talks about, in Romans chapter 8, he talks about the suffering and the struggles that the Christian has. But then in verse 18, let's go back to verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brothers and sisters, this morning as we gather here and we think about the past week, the past week and a half, the past 2 weeks, and we think how hard life is. And we think of the struggles that we go through. We think of the times when maybe we go through physical pain and suffering. We go through emotional pain and suffering. Or maybe we have to suffer spiritually, temptation, evil around us. But if we face those situations with our eye on eternity in heaven with God and with Jesus Christ and with those saints who have gone on before, we can with Paul say the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with that. What we need to face here doesn't begin to pay, if you want to say it that way, doesn't begin to pay for what we're going to receive afterwards. If we're faithful, if we're heirs, if we're children of God, if we're willing to suffer now to be glorified with him. But you know, I'm thankful this morning that we don't have to face this suffering, this present evil world. We don't have to face it by ourselves. We have a God that is right here with us. He knows everything we're going through, and he's right here to give us strength and to give us hope and to lead us through these times of struggle. Turn with me to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. The title of the message this morning is the last phrase in verse 8, thy right hand upholdeth me. As I thought about that, as I read over that psalm and I saw that phrase, my mind went immediately to a small child that is struggling, learning how to walk, or maybe lagging behind because they're tired, or maybe stumbling because the path is rocky and steep. And the father takes the child by the hand and helps him along. Brothers and sisters, you and I have a father, a heavenly father, an all-wise, all-powerful father that is wanting to reach down and take our hand and uphold us. But we need to be the willing child. We need to be the child of the Father that is willing to reach up and to take that hand and to recognize that we need that support, we need that help, to recognize that without that, I am going to stumble on the rocky path. Without that, I'm going to run ahead with abandonment into trouble, or I'm going to lag behind in frustration and weakness. Thy right hand upholdeth me. In verse 1, and this is going to basically be an expository message, I might turn to a few other scriptures in Psalms, but mostly thoughts for the message are out of this psalm here. In verse 1, David, this is a psalm of David, he cries out and he says, O God, thou art my God. Is that our cry this morning? I ask myself that question. I ask you that question. Are we crying out to our Father God in heaven and saying, you are my God. You are the God that I trust in. You are the God that I put my confidence in. You are the God that I seek after, as he says later there in the verse. You are the God that I want. Is that our heart cry? Or has our vision been lowered to the things of this earth and to everyday troubles and trials, and it seems like we can't even lift our head and cry out to God? Each one of us faces our own temptations, we face our own struggles, we face our own hardships. And God knows about all that. God knows about the little things that we face. And that Father God that wants to reach down and take our hand also wants to hear us cry out to him for help and for strength, for comfort, for peace. Then David says, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Brothers and sisters, we do definitely live in a dry and thirsty land. There is nothing in this world that would encourage or feed or strengthen our souls. We need to admit that as nice as this land is and as easy as we have it, there is nothing here that feeds our souls. It needs to come from God. As we yield our souls and our lives to God, we'll find that thirst-quenching water. We'll find that God that reaches down to us. We'll find him in his word. We'll find him as he dwells within us. Psalm 1 and verse 2 says, I can't get it right now. I'm going to have to turn to it. I thought I could quote that. Maybe somebody else can quote it for me. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Are we seeking after God? Is the delight of God's word a part of our life? And we'll get into that meditating day and night part a little bit later in Psalm 63. But I just have to think of an individual that is in a desert or in a dry land. We all know what it's like to be outside working on a hot day and we get thirsty and we just got a little bit more to do and it takes a little bit longer than we think. And finally we get to be able to go and take a drink. You know what that's like. But a person that is lost or stranded in a desert and longs for something to drink and can't get there. David says that's how much he longs for God. But I am thankful and I praise God that we don't have to wait. We don't have to be lost away from that thirst-quenching water. We can go there and we can drink. And if we have it in our hearts, we can partake of it and find strength, find thirst-quenching strength there. It's amazing to me how some people, and sadly professing Christians, will starve their souls for the word of God when we have it so freely. We have access to it so freely, and yet they will starve themselves. Verse 2 says that he longs, going back to the longing there, long to seek to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This verse has two different thoughts with it. The psalmist is saying that he longs to see God's power in his life, in his experience, as he experiences it when he is in the sanctuary. And that thought struck me because we think of coming together, and rightly so, we think of coming together for encouragement, for strengthening, for refreshing, for renewing. We think of that, and that's right. That's why we come together, because we need this. We need the fellowship of brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need the concentrated time of looking into God's word and studying it and discussing it together and singing about God's glory and his care and his love and our own need for him. We need that. But brother, sister, this morning, Do you realize that God wants us to experience that in our everyday life? The psalmist says he longs for that in his life, that he might experience God, that he might experience the presence of God, the glory of God, the power of God in his life every day as he experiences it when he's in the sanctuary. I challenge you this morning, brothers and sisters, along with myself, that we would allow God to be present with us and to work in our lives just like he does when we're gathered together here. We can experience the power of God. We can see his glory. We can experience his glory just like we do when we're here this morning. The other thought of this verse is that because we want to see the glory of God and because we want to experience his power and strength in our lives, we do come here. We do come to the sanctuary because we know that here is where we can get charged up again by other individuals and by other input into our lives. And the psalmist says he longs for that because he knows he needs it. Verse 3, he says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Thought about that verse for a while. How good is God's loving kindness? And we talked about kindness this morning, and Brother Leon brought up the thought that kindness is love in shoe leather. It's the reaching out. Our kindness to other people is the expression of our love for them. And here the psalmist says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life." And I'm not sure, sometimes life doesn't seem very good. Sometimes life is a drudgery. Sometimes life brings things into our experience that we don't like. And I looked at that for a while and his loving kindness is better than life. Well, yes, it is. It is, because life can be full of trials and temptation. Life can be full of bitterness and heartache. His loving kindness definitely is better than that. But then there's this little chiding voice came into my head, said, "Cliff, why are you so negative? What about the good things in life that God gives you? What about the blessings of life? What about the joys of life? What about the happy experiences, the happy times? What about those?" And then I had to think about that, and I had to think, God's loving kindness is still better than life. It's still much better than that. All the joy that we experience in life, God's loving kindness is still far greater and far better than that. His love reaches down to us and gives us the possibility of salvation, the possibility of a relationship with him that we could not have because of sin. But because of God's loving kindness and forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship again. So God's loving kindness is better than life. And because of that, my lips shall praise him. Do I think about God's love, God's kindness to us? Do I think about that and then praise him? Does it bring forth praise from my mouth? Does it bring forth a song of praise and thanksgiving? Does it bring forth a rejoicing? Or do I still walk around with a long face and mumble and grumble about everything and you know, well, just... You know, that's kind of our nature. What did I say I thought about the first one? I thought about the being better than life. I thought about the negative right away, what life brings on us. That's natural for us. Brothers and sisters, maybe today, this afternoon, this evening, maybe tomorrow when you're at home because the snow's flying and you can't go anywhere, the wind is blowing and the roads are closed, take some time to think about God's goodness. Take some time to think about God's loving kindness. Take some time to praise Him and thank Him for it. And see what it does for your outlook on life. Verse 4 says, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." We read about the praise and the glory that comes to God from the saints that are before the throne in heaven. Individuals get there and it says we're going to cast our crowns before Him and we're going to praise Him. We're going to be before the throne and we're going to fall down and we're going to worship Him and we're going to sing songs. We're going to sing a new song. The psalmist here recognizes that we need to be blessing God and praising Him while we live. While we're here in this body, while we're here in this life, it's important that we bless the Lord. That's our responsibility. Is to be praising His name. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now that almost sounds charismatic, doesn't it? But brothers and sisters, I don't think there's anything wrong with us getting emotional and maybe a little bit charismatic sometimes. And showing it by our expression, showing it by our movements, showing it by our actions that we love God and that we're ready to praise and glorify His name. We see people all around us who get very emotional, very charismatic about whatever they are passionate about. What about you and I? I'm not saying we're supposed to go out and march or we're supposed to have flags and banners. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we need to speak up, brothers and sisters. We need to carry our life like a banner in this evil world. We need to show the world who we are, who we live for, and why. God says in His word through the psalmist, I will bless thee while I live. Verse 5 says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." The psalmist here is recognizing that God has provided many good things for him. Yes, he was running from Saul, he was chased. His life was in danger. In later life, he was chased by his own son. He left Jerusalem, fled because his son was usurping his authority and his throne. "But my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness." He's saying the best. The best and abundance of it. When we sit and think about the goodness of God in our life, what we received, what we oftentimes take for granted, if we stop and think about that, we just ponder that for a little bit. Just allow God to direct our minds toward Him and toward His supply. Again, it should bring praise from our lips. It should bring thanksgiving. And it should bring a surrender and submission to Him, because we realize that without that, we would be nothing. We would be doomed for hell. We would be individuals who are miserable because we have no hope. We would be individuals who have nothing to look forward to but eternal destruction. And in verse 6 he says, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." What do you think about at night when you can't go to sleep or when you wake up? Where's your mind go? Does your mind go to the responsibilities of the next day? Does your mind go to the failures of the past? Or does your mind go to God? Do you meditate on God? Do you meditate on His Word? Do you think about all His goodness? Do you think about how He's fed you, how He's protected you, how He's kept you? Do you think about those times when you were in a strong temptation or in a sad time in your life? Do you think about that and think about how God met those needs? Do you think about the times when your heart cried out to God and your hand reached up and His ear was open to your cry and His hand reached down and took yours? Do you meditate on those times? Do you think about that? And brothers and sisters, I'm not here preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself, because as I read through this psalm and it spoke to me, it's like, Cliff, you have so much to learn, so much to grow. And I think every one of us needs to recognize the fact that God is speaking to us. "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." The psalmist here is recognizing that in the past he could depend on God. In the past, God was his help. In the past, God was there for him. And because of that, he says, "Therefore, in the shadows of thy wings will I rejoice." That's talking about a bird taking its young under its wing for protection and for safety and for comfort. I think of the story. Anytime I read anything about a bird gathering, like Jesus says when he was weeping over Jerusalem, he said, "How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks?" But he says, "You would not." And that made him weep. And I believe he weeps when we refuse to find shelter, to find comfort, to find strength under his wings. But I think of the story of an individual of a farmer that, I'm not sure what happened. I think it was a piece of machinery that sparked a fire in a wheat field. And it burned most of the wheat field by the time they got it out. And as they walked through that wheat field, looking at the destruction, they saw the charred remains. I'm not sure if it was a quail or if it was a pheasant, but they saw the charred remains of a bird. on the ground, and as they walked up to it, they saw little chicks poking their heads out from underneath. They were alive, protected by the wings of the mother. Brother, sister, that's the analogy that our Heavenly Father gives to us. He wants to gather us under His wing and protect us. He wants to gather us and give us comfort. He wants to gather us and give us protection from the elements around us. And David says, because you have been my help, because I've experienced that before, I'm going to trust in that. We've experienced so much. Do we trust in God? Verse 8 then, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. I think again of that little child that is afraid of being left behind, and they follow very close to their father or their mother. Sometimes they even grab a hold of your clothes, and they want to make sure that they're right there, that you don't get away. Is that our desire toward God? The psalmist says, I follow hard. My soul followeth hard after thee. Is that what we're doing? Is that what we want? We want to be right there. We want to be with our Father. We don't want to get lost. We don't want to get left behind. We follow hard after Him, and we reach up our hand, and we ask Him to take a hold of our hands. This morning, we can have the assurance that God's right hand will uphold us because we've experienced it before. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.